faith or the sin of unbelief? Faith or the sin of unbelief? We'd like to just talk about that this morning. Sometimes when we talk about faith, sometimes it's people have a good grasp on what faith really is, and other times it's maybe foggy in our minds of what is faith? What is faith? When the Bible talks about faith, what is faith? Turn with me for an opening scripture to the book of 1 Corinthians. I'd like to read a number of verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And these verses we're going to be reading here refer to an account in Scripture in the Old Testament. And it refers to this account that happened in the Old Testament. And it says that those things that happened there are for our learning. So this morning we'd like to just take a look at some of the things that God has, accounts that are in Scripture that are given for our learning. Let's read here, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting to read in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not have you ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. We're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. It's talking about Moses and the children of Israel. And did all eat the same spiritual drink, and did all drink the same spiritual meat, and drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. For with many of them, now listen to this, for with many of them God was, can you help me? Not well pleased. It says with many of them, God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 6, now these things were for our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye. And what did that say? Murmuring. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyers. And we're going to look at what murmuring means after a while here. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I think we'll stop there. But these things that we're going to be looking at this morning were written for our examples. They're written for our examples. Now, we're going to spend a good bit of our time looking at the children of Israel. And in light of all that, I'd like to, before we look at some of the negative things that happened, I'd like for us to think about how God was with the children of Israel. God was clearly, without question, God was with the children of Israel. Am I right with that? There's no question. And I'd like to just, I'm going to give a couple examples here, but then I'm going to open it up for right here. And I'd like to ask you all the question, is God with us? And I'd like to have some actual response. How do we know that God is with us? Okay? I'm going to ask those questions in a little bit. But I'd like for us to reflect on some of the things that happened to the children of Israel in Egypt. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, and God, you know, the end of, you know, 400 years had come, and then God had called Moses and he brought him back into Egypt. And if you think of all the miracles that happened to the children of Israel. Now, I have these listed, and I'm going to ask you to help me get 10 of them. Is there 10, right? There's 10 miracles that happened, big things that happened there in Egypt to convince Pharaoh to let them go. Now, who can help me with those?
Hail,
yep. Hail, the frogs.
Lice,
yep. Lice. Darkness. Water turned to blood. The oldest son. The death of the firstborn. Locusts. Flies, grasshoppers, darkness for 3 days. I'm not sure. I think we have most of them there.
The rod turned to serpent.
The rod turned. That wasn't a part of the actual 10, I don't think. But there was 10 things. There was 10 things that happened. And major things that all the children of Israel and all the Egyptians looked on. And as they looked at these wonderful miracles that happened, there was no question. Now, I'd like to just, before we go on, I'd like to bring us into this whole thing before we keep on going here. And I know that sometimes, as individuals, for myself, when I face difficulties in life, when I face difficulties, I need to go back and I need to remind myself of what God is doing in my own life and what He wants to do and where He's taking me. And I need to reach out in faith. But sometimes in that reaching out in faith, I look back at some of the things that God has done in my own life. And it strengthens my faith. So I'd like to just ask that question this morning. What are some of the things that have happened in your life that you look back and say, God, that was God. God was with me. You know, that was God. Okay? Can you just tell me some? It's sometimes big, sometimes small, sometimes confirmation, just various things. I'll just give me a couple. And you look back and you know, God was there. God was there. Yes. Do you have some, John? Yeah. Isn't that a blessing? Yeah. Others? Albert? It was a hand of God. Yes, Mose? Thank you. And I think we could continue on and on here this morning. But my goal here this morning is to have us reflect back on our life and have us look back at various things that have happened in our life and how God was clearly there. Do you follow that? We reflect back on various situations and things that have come our way, and we clearly look back and we know God was with me and He's still with me.
And I'd like for us to keep that in mind as we go on through the sermon here. And I know that time is moving along quickly, but I'd like for us to just keep that in our hearts as we move on through here. That God is with us. I'd like for us to just take a quick look at how unbelief really looks. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "Harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works for 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart." Now I want you to get this next phrase here. "And they have not known my ways." I don't know if you get that. All these things that happened in Egypt, and they came into the wilderness, and for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. There's a lot of things that happened, but at the bottom of it all, it says, "They have not known my ways." They don't know me. They don't know my character. They don't know how much I care for them. They don't know how much I'm with them. They don't know how much I'm going to just take care and help them through what they're facing. They don't know that. "They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." This is God's response. Because of what they did and their murmurings and complainings, "they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Let me just read that again. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Be careful that there isn't in any of us an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, I'd like to just take you on a little journey. As the children of Israel left Egypt and they moved, God purposefully, the Bible says that God purposefully didn't take them up into the promised land right away. Because he knew that they would have to fight. And he knew that they weren't ready for that. So as a result, God moved them over and over to the Red Sea crossing. And I'm not sure how much you're familiar as to where that is or how it looks. I've been there. But there's a place where the children of Israel went through a mile-wide wadi in the mountains. There's mountains everywhere. Down through this wadi, through the mountains, and down through to the Red Sea. And when they came to the Red Sea, there's this big 10 square mile little sand bar with mountains on either side right up to the Red Sea. Now the Bible says that when the children of Israel came to this place, Pharaoh, when he saw where they were, Pharaoh said that they're entangled in the land and we can go and get them. There's no way out. There's no way of escape. There's no way for them to get away. They're trapped. They're entangled in the land. Now, consider with me all the miracles that had happened. And when they were down at the edge, they look back and here there's Egyptians coming. And there's a multitude of very possibly between 2 and 3 million people. The Bible says there's 800,000 men. And so with women plus women and children. So very likely there's between 2 and 3 million people. They were down at the Red Sea. And behind them, Here's the Egyptians coming, and there's no way of escape. And I'd like for us to consider that many times in our life, we are at that very place where we face very, very difficult situations. And we look back, and there's no way of escape. And we look forward, and there's no way of escape. And I'd like for you to consider what happened to the children of Israel in these situations that they faced, that God looked at them and God was very, very displeased with them. I'd like for us to be thinking about that, how they responded. They obviously, they called out and they said, hey, they talked to Moses, they started crying, and guess what God did? Guess what God did as a point of deliverance when they were in a very, very difficult situation? God brought his cloud in behind the children of Israel, and he put this cloud in that separated the Egyptians and the children of Israel. And at nighttime, it was a pillar of
fire.
It was actually fire. And in the daytime, it was a cloud. But when they came up, it actually separated the Egyptians and the children of Israel. They couldn't get through. And then, the account there. God told Moses, I want you to put your rod out and strike the water. And then, for the next 24 hours, or all night long, the wind blew. And when morning came, the water had separated. And the Bible says they were walls of water on either side. Many times as we read through here, we don't get what was really going on. But it calls it walls of water on either side. This place where the Red Sea crossing is, it's 10 miles from the one side to the other. 10 miles. If you go out into the Red Sea and you go down in, out in the deepest place, 5 miles out, the water is 1,500 feet from the ground up to the sea level, 1,500 feet. And the Bible says that there was walls of water on either side. Can you just imagine these 2 to 3 million people, this wide span opened up, dry ground, and the children of Israel walking out into the sea, down 5 miles out, there's walls of water on either side, 1,500 feet, they could look in there, they could see the fish, they could see everything in the water. You know, can you imagine all that? I don't think we can imagine it. It's unbelievable. Was God with them? God was with them. It's unbelievable. And they go out, and according to biblical account, it took 24 hours for this 2 to 3 million people to go through this Red Sea and come out on the other side. And the Bible says that when daybreak came again, God allowed the chariot wheels of the Egyptians. They had started following, but there's still this pillar in between. But they started following them. And all the Egyptians were out in the sea. And the Bible says that the Lord made their chariot wheels to come off, and they started driving them heavily, and they turned around and they said, God is against us, let's get out of here. Turn around, they started fleeing, and God allowed all the waters to come down and cover them up. I don't think we can fathom the amazing things that God was doing to this 2 to 3 million people that God had promised, I'm going to bring them out of Egypt and into the promised land. It's amazing. And the Bible says that next morning, bodies were washed up on shore, And it says that there's not one man that lived through that. Now, I'd like for us to consider some of the things that I'm going to call things that we so very quickly forget. I'm describing to you all these amazing things. But here they were. And God, he went, and with a cloud, he started moving them. And remember, there's 2 to 3 million people. There are animals. There's all their possessions they can carry. And God started moving them into the wilderness. And when God started moving them into the wilderness, all of a sudden, this is right, moving away from the Red Sea and everything that just happened. God had just destroyed the Egyptians, everything had just happened. And for the next 3 days, they had no water. They had no water. No water. They traveled. There's no water. If you've been in these parts of Egypt and Israel, it's desert. There's no water. There's no creeks running around. There's no water. But the Bible says they traveled 3 days and they had no water. Now, consider with me everything that had just happened. Everything that had just happened. And they were traveling 3 days. And I can just imagine moms coming to dad and saying, "Dad, what can we do about water?" And the 1-year-old, the 2-year-old, the 5-year-old, they're standing there beside dad and tears running down their cheeks. Say, "I have to have water. I'm thirsty." And all the children of Israel, they actually came up to a little place of water, and it was bitter water. They couldn't drink it. They weren't able to drink it. There they were. And they started, I can't imagine. 2 to 3 million people, no water, out in the wilderness, nothing anywhere. Nothing. Children crying, moms crying, the animals, the sheep, I'm sure they were baying. They were all thirsty. You just imagine that. I put myself into those shoes. For 3 days, no water. And the desperation that comes upon them at that point, there's no water. And guess what they did? They looked at Moses and they said, "Moses, why did you bring us out into the wilderness to die from thirst? Why did you do that? Why did you do that? God, we're all thirsty. We've been 3 days and there's no water. Here's water, but it's bitter. We can't even drink it. And we're all going to perish." Right? I'm going to just ask this question for us all. What do you think God really wanted them to do right then? Okay, that's a question, right? What did God want them to do right then? Faith?
Trust?
Trust what?
The Lord.
But the Lord what? I mean,
well, God. They just went through miracle.
Ask the Lord to provide water, but can he provide water? How do we know? Do you follow? Okay, right there. That place right there. That's where many times we find ourselves right there. After 3 days, there's no water. Our wives are crying. The children are crying. The animals are mooing and baying. And, there's no hope. And we're going to die. We're going to die. There's no hope. And the children of Israel murmured. And they threatened to stone Moses. And they complained against God. And it was a disaster. Okay. That is a sin of unbelief. That's it. And
what is faith? Faith, God wanted the children of Israel, right at that point, God wanted them to just come and say, God, we're thirsty. God, we don't know where the water's coming from. But we know you did all this. We know you did all this. We know you're with us. Somehow just come and take care of it. Somehow do a miracle. Somehow give us water. We know, Lord, we know you promised. You promised that you're going to bring us into Canaan. You promised that. So, Lord, we're just going to trust you. Somehow we wait, Lord. And there's a begging, but there's a trust. There's a confidence. There's a dependence. Right? That's faith. The children of Israel had the sin of unbelief right at that point. That's it right there. And I'd like for us to consider, all of us here this morning, all of us, we face situations in our life, sometimes big and sometimes small. We face situations that we don't know what to do with. And we look at them as impossibilities. There's no way to get on the other side. We face these things in our personal lives, as couples, as families, as churches, as individuals, as community. We face these things. We face these things. But many people start murmuring and complaining in that situation. Now, I know all of us here this morning, we're not like the children of Israel, are we? We would never do that. Us sitting here this morning, we would never do what the children of Israel did. We'd never do that here. But they did. Well, so what happened is God told Moses to go take this tree, throw it into the water, threw it into the water, and the water became sweet, and they had water to drink. Well, that's pretty simple, right? Just a simple answer to prayer. But God was displeased with the children of Israel's response. He was displeased. He was very displeased. Now, that was in Exodus chapter 15. And in Exodus chapter 16, it talks about the food. Now consider with me everything that I had just described. All the miracles in Egypt, the Red Sea crossing, God had supplied them with water. But here they were, they had a little bit of food in their bags, but they didn't have a whole lot of food. And so, in Exodus chapter 16, verse 2, it says these words, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Now, here they were, all the things happened, and now they have water. But now there's no food. And guess what they do? They again do the very same thing. They do the very, very same thing again. They start murmuring and complaining, and look, God had just taken care of them. God had just come in a miraculous way with simply throwing a tree into the water. He made the water sweet, and they had all the water they needed. He supplied for their need. Now, they didn't have any food. No food. And quite a number of years ago, I did some math. But with that amount of people, it takes a couple of carloads of, train carloads of food per day to feed that amount of people. That's a lot of food, right? So here they were, and there's no food. No food. Their food had now run out. There's no food. So guess what they do? They start murmuring and complaining. And they threaten to kill Moses the second time. They threaten to kill him And they said, would to God, we'd like to be back in Egypt. They'd rather be in bondage and, you know, and eat flesh and all the stuff that, you know, they'd like all the food and everything they had back in Egypt again. Now, here, for us, right here, we're not that, our memories aren't that short, are they? Our memories here aren't that short. We would never complain that quickly again, but the children of Israel did. They did. They complained and they murmured. They threatened to kill Moses. And finally, things turned around, and God sent manna. God sent manna, and they had all the food they needed. For the next 40 years, they had all the food they needed. And well, I could go more into this specific story, but you get the picture? You get the picture? Now, here's another one. They, after a little time, they moved again. When they moved again, there was no water. And the next time where they stopped, there wasn't even any water that God could turn the bitter water into sweet water. That wasn't there. They traveled. They ended up not having water. And guess what the children of Israel did? Anyone tell me? They murmured. They murmured. And what's murmuring? Can anyone tell me what murmuring is? What's murmuring? Complaining. Just complaining and saying, why this and why that and why can't we this? Okay, murmuring. They were murmuring. They traveled. And there's no water, not even bitter water there. And guess what the children of Israel did this time? They murmured again. And they again threatened to kill Moses. And this time, when it got bad enough, God said, okay, I want you to go over to Rephidim, and I want you to go over to the rock. He said, the rock. There's actually a rock there today, and it's about 75 feet tall. He told him to go over to the rock, and he said, you go over to the rock, and I will stand on the rock before the people. I'm going to stand on the rock, and I want you to come with your rod, and I want you to strike the rock. The water's going to come out of the rock. Well, you know, God again supplied for them, right? Well, but not before they had murmured and complained and, you know, threatened to kill and all those things. And again, I like to say, they had the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief. And God wants us to have, anyone tell me? Faith. Anyone tell me what faith is? What faith does? What is faith? Believes God. Trusts God. Reaches out to Him. Just fully trusts that whatever situation comes our way, God will most certainly take care of us and open the doors and help us through whatever situation comes our way. Even though if things go different than we think it should, God is going to be with us and He will help us. And how much tolerance does God have for murmuring? None. Right? None. I want to give you one more. So, soon after that, Moses sends 12 spies up into Canaan. Moses sends 12 spies up into Canaan, and they were supposed to search the land and see what the land is like. I don't know if you follow that. They were not supposed to figure out if they're able to overcome them or not. They were supposed to spy the land, look at look at the land and figure out how it is and come back with a report of how Canaan, the promised land, is. They were not asked to come back and bring a report whether they could overtake them or not. That's not what they were asked to do. They were gone, I believe, 60 days. When they came back, when they came back, 10 of the 12 spies that came back, the Bible says they brought an evil report. Now, they looked at all the people, and by the way, to my understanding, the Israelites in those days and the Egyptians, most of those people were shorter people. More similar to some of the Asian countries or some of the, maybe the, some of the Mexican people are a little bit shorter, and some, you know, various ones, they're shorter. In fact, history, the Pharaoh of the Exodus, he was a man of 5 foot stature. The children of Israel, they were not tall like we Americans are. But that when they went to spy the land, they looked at the people of the land and they saw these giants in the land. They saw these big, mighty people that looked way mightier than what they were. When they came back, they brought this evil report. And when they brought this evil report, there was there's an unbelievable amount of murmuring and complaining, and why did you bring us out here? And now we can't go into the promised land. They're going to kill us. And, you know, why are we out here just to get killed again? Again, it was the sin of unbelief. It was a sin of unbelief. And who can tell me what God wanted the children of Israel to do when the spies came back? Who can tell me? Who can tell me?
Have faith.
Have faith. God would have wanted the spies to come back and say, oh, it's a wonderful land. This is how it looks. There's tall people. They're very powerful. They're walled cities. But look what God did. You know, he's given us water. He destroyed Pharaoh's army. He gave us food. He had all the plagues in Egypt. If all that happened, surely he'll be with us. I mean, if God's for us, he'll surely, you know, he actually promised 400 years ago, he promised we can go into the promised land. So God wants us to just trust him, and he'll be with us, and surely he'll take care of us, right? But that was not what they said. That's not what they did. They complained. And as a result of the people's complaining, they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And it was God's plan to just in a short time take them up into the promised land, overcome their enemies, drive them out, and to dwell there. But for the next 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. Not only that, all these people, there's Dathan and Abiram, all these different situations that were going on. All these different situations happened. And as a result, all the people from 20 years and older all died, and they never made it into the promised land because of their unbelief. Now, here we are, and there are 10 times. The Bible says that 10 times in Numbers 14, it says, because all these men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened unto my voice. 10 times they did this. And finally God said, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. Then their descendants went up, but they never did. They never made it. Now, I'd like to it's time to close here, and I'm half done. But I'd like for us to just consider the faith that Joseph had. When Joseph came down into Egypt, and God did those miracles with the famine, and God allowed him to be second in command with Pharaoh. And there's the 7 years of plenty, and then the 7 years of famine. Joseph had two sons, and when Joseph was an old man and he had his two sons there with him, and when he was ready to die, this is what Joseph said to his sons. He said, God has promised in 400 years all our people here are going to go back, and he's going to give us that land that he promised. And he said, when you go up, I want my coffin, and I want my bones. I want you to take my bones, and I want you to carry them up and bury them up in the promised land, in the land that God promised that he would give to us. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm looking in the future, a couple hundred years. And when you all go, you take my bones and you take them along. That's faith. That's faith. Joseph never saw the promised land, or he never lived in the promised land again. But God said, I'm going to give Abraham and his descendants, I'm going to give their seed, I'm going to give them that land. Joseph said, I want to be a part of that. And even though I can't see it now, I want you to take my bones and I want you to take them up. That's faith. Now, I'd like for us to just consider this morning situations in your personal life. Brothers and sisters, I'm just going to say that we look at these big things that happen with the children of Israel. We look at that and we say, surely we would have done better. But I'd like for us to consider situations that you have faced in your personal life and what level of faith you have and are putting in God on a daily basis to just take a hold of God. Because you know what Scripture says, how God is going to be with us. He's going to help us. He's going to walk with us. And he's going to help us in this journey of life. And he said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And he said he'll help us to overcome temptation and all these things that God wants us to be doing. And I'm going to tell you that there's many, many people who are walking in unbelief today. When God wants us to take a hold of his word and his promises and just believe him and trust him and latch a hold of him and with faith take a hold. Say, God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I know that somehow you will help me. I know you'll help me get through this thing. Your word tells me. And so I'm going to put my trust in you and I'm going to depend on you no matter what comes. God, I will trust you. You promised you'd be with me. Faith or the sin of unbelief. May the Lord help us with all that. Lord bless you.